Well, hello there and welcome to the Messy Middle podcast. Here you will find a collection of interviews of creative and ambitious mums who entrepreneur, who are rising through their messy middle in life and business. Brought to you by Emma Firenza, the founder of Mums Who Entrepreneur. Let's dive into our next interview. Miriam, I would love to thank you so much for being on the Messy Middle podcast. I'm really excited actually to hear a bit more about you and your bio, because when I took some information from you, I'm just blown away that you have five businesses. You're a busy mum of three. Mm-hmm. And so I think you'll definitely be able to give so much value to our audience and sort of share how your journey is going, how your messy middle is going, whether you're in the thick of it. I mean, I think we always are going to be in the thick of the messy middle. I don't think we ever actually arrive, but yeah. Let's chat more about your journey. So give us a little bit of a bio and share with us who you are and what you're doing at the moment.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I really loved what you were about. I think sometimes we can pretend it's all glamorous and things are going really well and you just live in the dream every single day. I'll work hard and then come home to crying kids, everything else like that. So, I love that you're showcasing the reality behind. And, yeah, it can be messy. And my life is certainly a bit crazy busy. So it is sometimes daunting for me to write my bio and that type of things, because I'm like, I don't want to scare people. And I don't really know, like, I wouldn't have thought I'd be where I am now, but it was sort of a progression from me sort of starting out about in 2011. I set up an accounting business, and it was more so trying to work out what I wanted to do with my life, and then started helping my family and friends and my sister's friends, actually, with their tax returns. They would come over my house. I had young kids, and I was just there doing what I loved, just because I'd helped out my sisters with their tax returns, and I started helping them out. And then from there, it's just grew, consistently grown and grown. I like to share the story. In my first year of business, I made $1,000, and my insurances cost $2,000, and my software cost another $1,000. So I was there back trying to work out how can I monetize this, and then got really happy one day when I scored my first business client and was charging out $40 an hour for bookkeeping. And once again, I was like, yes, it was more so about finding something that I could fit in with kids and or just feel like that I was contributing, because I had very young children at the time. And you know what it's like, you need something flexible. And then from there, it was just growing the business. When my kids were a little bit older, so I've got three children now, 12, 9, and 7. Mm-hmm. Basically, after I had my third baby and I started to get a few more clients, then I was like, okay, I need to sort of focus on the business a little bit more. And then I expanded into other businesses. One of the businesses that I bought into, it was my client's laser tag business. And I'd go down there and we'd do the bookkeeping, and I'd love playing laser tag. So an opportunity opened itself up to buy into it. It wasn't that much. And because I just love laser tag so much, bought into that one. I will just, you know, give a heads up to people to, you know, do their a little bit of their due diligence. my return on investment has been my kids get free laser tag so far.
Yeah.
So every birthday party they have is at the laser tag center. So I've learned and evolved from that, and then I'm in a process now of diversifying my services. So that's where I talk about multi-businesses. While I was sort of younger, I was studying quite a bit. So I've set up recently a law business, and then we've also partnered in with my sister to do mortgage broking. And then right when the Banking Royal Commission's on, decided to also provide that holistic advice and provide financial advice as well. So a client comes in, we can now help them on multi different areas and really look at what is the best for our clients. And I won't have to worry about, who can I get to talk about certain areas. So it's really, it's not completely random different businesses. They're all sort of in that same stream besides the laser tag business. My younger sister, Ferial, also, along the way, I've got a pretty entrepreneurial sister, so she's now involved in a business that manages Airbnbs. So we share the same office and everything like that. All our kids are really close by. We all live close by, so it's basically me and my sisters just trying to get through every day, really, and try to put out as many fires as possible. So, yeah, that's where I'm at the moment.
Yeah. That is amazing. I think it's incredible that you have such a close family. I'm sure that there's good days and bad days with that as well. Yeah. But amazing that you're able to integrate it all in and, you know, you just make it work, don't you? And I love that I was literally so excited to kind of chat with you and find out what are these five businesses apart from the laser tag, which I knew about. Yeah. Because, you know, in my mind, I was like, you know, rushing over here, rushing over there. But you've integrated it so well. And obviously it's doing really well and things are working, you know, pieces of the puzzle are coming together, which is awesome.
Yeah, well, I would say it's not, like, it's a challenge, definitely. And I have, so in the mortgage breaking business, my sister is kind of the head of that business. In our financial advisory business, we have another head of that. But yeah. I have had to also invest a lot in myself. I got a mentor involved and I'm following some like entrepreneurial scaling systems and have really had to invest in working out how to develop leadership skills now and everything like that. So it's like once a fortnight, our mentor comes and sits in a room with myself and my sisters. There are tears, there are fights, there is everything. He's like, you know, we're passionate, we're all working towards the one goal, because I'm a very, like, I can see the big vision. I'm like, yes, let's go for it, let's do it. And then my sister wants, like, all the steps, she wants the processes, she wants to know, because I'm like, yes, let's bring in clients, and she'll want to know, okay, every, and I've got a little bit of detail, but she wants all of the detail, everything in between. So it's trying to work out how to manage those leadership styles and or learn from someone that's had been there, done that experience, because it's all a completely new world what I'm in with clients, managing staff. It's not the easiest of things to no one teaches you how to do these things. So it's trying to learn from other people, really.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm huge on personal development. And like, I honestly, why would you not have someone come in that has the expertise to kind of help you work through that? And that's what an incredible business owner does, you know, and they're always moving and growing, not staying stagnant. Awesome. Well, okay, let's find out what is the best way that you like to start and finish your day. So do you have any like rituals or routines or things that you do every single day when you wake up in the morning? Is there anything that, you know, that you could share with our audience that really helps you get fired up and started for the day and then how you wind down?
Yeah, I love asking this question to my guests on my podcast too, for all of their insight. And my business mentor, he is a like get up at 5 a.m. every single morning, like doesn't sleep in, jumps out of bed. And when I heard that, I'm like, I was like feeling really guilty about like, why the fuck can't I get up? Sorry, I'm not so sure I'm allowed to say. Why can't I get up at 5 a.m. every morning? And I've got my 5 a.m. book next to me on my bedside table that I haven't touched in months. So I'm a bit of like, I go through cycles of sometimes I'll be like really in the zone, and then other times like New Year's Eve, I was setting all these goals that I wanted to get done for the next 90 days. And one of them was like exercising 5 times a week. And then I wasn't doing it. And then I was getting depressed because I wasn't doing it. Mm. And then I've just kind of been a bit easy on myself lately. And I'm like, okay, let's just try and exercise twice a week now. So Saturday and Sunday mornings, I'm getting up to go for a jog at like 8:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to take my kids to a whole lot of sport after that. And then today, my morning was literally, so I worked super late last night, caught up a whole lot of work on the weekend, and I love working late. I find like there's, I can just get heaps of work done. So I, to be honest, worked till 12:30 last night, and then this morning kind of just woke up because I'm a single mum. I don't have my kids for a couple of nights a week. So last night I didn't have the kids. So this morning I had my morning off to myself. Set my alarm for about 8 a.m. and then got into work, ready to start my meetings from 9 a.m. So, like, I would probably say don't be too hard on yourself if you are, like, and, yeah, if you can do the 5 a.m. discipline, like, that's great. For me, my lifestyle's a bit, like, I travel, that type of thing. So it's, I try wherever I can to practice, you know, list, like, just – exercise or whatever, but it doesn't happen every day, so yeah. I don't have anything consistent for you other than, like, I'm trying, it's a work in progress.
Oh, look, I love that you're being so real about this, because, you know, there are some incredible books, and some people with their personality types, they are so structured, and I am like you. You know, I hate doing to myself where I will say, you know, tomorrow's the morning, I'll get up at 5 a.m. and I don't. So that's over-promising and under-delivering on myself. Yeah. And I don't like doing that to myself or clients or customers either. So I've had to unlearn that it's okay to be gentle with myself. And I've got to check in constantly, like, how am I actually feeling? If the kids have all been sick and we've had a huge week or whatever, it's actually okay for us all to sleep in or to lag the morning until 7:30 and have that 15-minute bubble of rush, as long as everyone's not in, you know, chaos mode. But yeah, just actually, I love Denise Duffield's book, The Chillpreneur. I don't know if you've read that, but it's incredible.
No, sounds cool though.
Yeah, I love her whole philosophy about it. Like, just make your life easier, especially when you're raising a family and running a business. Like, it doesn't actually have to be hard. So yeah, and it's ebbs and flows, isn't it? Like you said, seasons. You know, sometimes you'll be completely on task, and then other times you've got to allow yourself just some room for relaxation and restore the mind. Yeah,
and I think that came about, like, I just set way too many goals, like at the start of the year, like in January, and I'm like, it's okay, maybe I just need to think of 3 things, not trying to achieve 20 things in a 90-day area, and now I'm just, like, feeling it's all too hard. So, it has been a, like, don't be too hard on myself type of thing, because, you know, I am trying my best, we've all got full-on lives at the moment with everything, so.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so let's chat now. What has been your biggest challenge? I know we've spoken about a couple little things, but what's been your biggest challenge, or maybe like a turning point in your messy middle? Do you feel like you're right in the thick of it now, or have you kind of moved through some of the bigger challenges? Sort of, let's chat about that.
So probably, and this is pretty personal, probably the biggest challenge, I've had a few big challenges. One of them was probably just going through my divorce. Mm-hmm. While I was growing the business, I had the stability of, and no one really talks about this type of thing, but I had the stability of a husband that had a good paying government job. So I could basically invest back all of the money back into the business to grow it, to have staff on, because I didn't have investors. It was just me. So we were kind of essentially living off from his income. When we settled the divorce side of things, that was a few years ago now, it was kind of like, and I elected to buy him out of some property as well. So I was in quite a bit of debt at the time because I purchased him out of all the property. And then it was a holy crap, like, I now have to make this work. I have to, I've got to pay the mortgages. I've got to pay my percentage of the school fees. I've got to, I've got other people to pay for. I can't, like, and it was extremely hard. And I was like, wow. But it also was a huge, like, motivation for me. I like a bit of pressure. Like, I love, like, I perform under pressure. I love that type of thing. So I sometimes think I probably wouldn't have got to where I have in the business if I didn't potentially have that safety net of that regular family household income that I had. So that was probably the biggest motivating factor for me, was like, I've got no one else to rely on now. I have to do this for my sake and for my family's sake and for our future type of thing. So yeah, that was probably a massive turning point in I have to take this serious. And I think it's also like, you know, when you're starting out in business, you do favors for people, you're like you're helping everyone and anyone, you're busy, but it's like, is it making money? And that's when I had to also really make sure I was valuing myself, valuing my services. And yeah, I still help people, I still do all those things, but I have to also be mindful that this is a business. And be an accountant, like I should know that as well, but it was more so, yeah, I have to take this like pretty seriously now. I have to be on top of everything. I'm also the type of person that likes to practice what I preach. So you sometimes see people saying a whole lot of things, but behind the in the background, like it's the oiler mechanic that hasn't even got his own car like sorted out. For me, it's always like, if I'm going to practice what I preach, and I realize if I want to help other people, I have to help myself first. Yeah. And get my own house in order before I can then help other people. So that was, a few years ago, that sort of.
Yeah, great challenge to go through and come out the other side. And like you said, sometimes having that pressure and no, you know, back door, I guess, that you can back out on your dreams and goals. Excuse me. So, you know, having that, you know, having no other option but to make it work and having that little bit of pressure, I definitely work like that too. I actually do really love it. I think if, when I'm in a comfort zone, nothing grows, right? Yeah. So, you know, you're thrown completely in the deep end there. So well done. Amazing. That is incredible that you're coming out the other side of that and, you know, an incredible role model for your children to see you, you know, go through that and you're still moving forward and setting them up for an incredible future. So that's awesome. We love to see that. Love to see it. Okay. So we've talked about the challenges. Now let's talk about the fun stuff. What's been something super fun in your businesses, in one of them or all of them, maybe a huge win that you've had, something that you are just so overjoyed and have achieved, or maybe you're working on something at the moment that you're really excited about?
Probably I've spoke to you about this before when we were in pre-recording stage, but probably the fun. So what I realized, I always, let's go back to like talking real, I always had this dream of me building an empire with a man we would rule the world. And I like, you know, my knight in shining armor and everything like that. And I'm hungry. I've got this drive. Like, I want to do it. I want to take on the world. And yeah, I couldn't really find a guy that shared the same dream.
Yeah.
And then I realized this whole time while I've been like, you know, buying a property, running a business, getting new clients along, my sisters were actually, would always have my back, would always be there for me, like no matter what. They had that same hunger, that same burning, like that fire in their belly, like, and you know, if there was, we've purchased property and that type of thing, and it would be, we have this running joke that we purchased a property and we think that we'll be able to like renovate it in the weekend. It'd be like us, we're like, yeah, no worries, just renovate weekend, long weekend, sure. And it will be like all of us like painting, trying to get the property ready to for tenants to come in. So like, you name it, my sisters were there, and we're all kind of interlinked in business now. So I thought it would be a really cool thing for us to just share that journey, and we created our own podcast, Sisters That Slay, and it's really just, I find cool people to interview, but it's been fun to do it with my sisters as well. Like when people come to interview us, we're laughing half the time. We're talking about sometimes really serious subjects, and then half the time we're laughing. So I've found a way to, yeah, just create happiness in the day to day. And my staff, like it's all kind of one big extended family sort of thing. One of my staff came from just listening to our podcast and like loving the podcast and everything like that. Yeah. I've interviewed like year four boys on the podcast. So it's nothing about trying to really, there's no money strategy behind it other than this is something that we love. I get to share it. So yeah, that's probably my big win. And or I do lots of, I like also just sharing my journey and or educating people around accounting and finance. I go to this like the NEES program. I talk at the NEES program, and the ladies there last time I spoke, it was mainly ladies in this one, but she was like, wow, I can feel your passion.
Yeah, I can do.
Goosebumps. Like, I never knew accounting could be like this. So I like to just sort of break down a little bit of the stigma that is involved with accountants. It's not something scary. As you can see, I'm not sure if they can see, but I like wearing red. That's my little thing. My brand is red. We use fabulous, like, so we're Fab Tax Accountants. That's a bit of a play on fabulous. I just like to break the mold a little bit and, you know, do things the way I want to do it rather than the way things have always been done.
Love it. Break the mold. Break the mold. I love it. That is so awesome. Yeah. Cool. And I love that you're doing that with your sisters. I am one of three. I'm the oldest.
Where do you go?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the oldest too. So.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Awesome. I could definitely see us having a wine.
What's the age difference between you and your sisters?
So there's 3 years. So I'm the oldest, then 3 years, and then 10. So it's a big gap. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, and do they all live near you as well? Or?
Only one. She's just recently moved back, and I have a nephew who's 10 months. So my kids are older. They're 6 and 8, but they adore him. My youngest, my daughter, anything to do with babies, she was just like, ooh, don't do babies. But with her cousin, she is just smitten all over him. He gets very much loved and attention.
And that's the same thing with, well, my younger sister has kids similar age to mine. So we have all 5 of the kids will be around my house. They're all playing together, that type of thing. So it's kind of like because I work a lot, I love working, and I've kind of had to be happy that the kids are around family, that type of thing. They're having a great time because, I'm not necessarily, I do some huge hours, but, my kids are constantly around family, which kind of helps that mum guilt kind of not creep in as much as, I don't really have it too much nowadays.
Good, because, it takes a village to raise children, as you know. And, that's incredible. Incredible that you have that. It is awesome. I love it. So let's chat about something that I like to talk about. I'm not a tech person, but I love to find, I guess, not shortcuts, but things that make our lives so much easier. So is there a tech tool that you have on your phone or you use in your business that saves you time and money that you just can't live without? Is there anything that brings you joy in regards to the tech stuff?
One of my sisters loves asking people about what apps they use. I've got an issue at the moment where for some reason I have storage issues. Yeah. And so I had to delete a whole lot of apps, and it's actually probably been the best thing for me to just delete as many apps as possible. There was a time where I couldn't even have Instagram or Facebook, and so I was trying to get into Facebook through my browser. So I'm just trying to see if I can think of anything in particular, but for me it's really if anything I need to probably, I spend too much time on social media.
Yeah.
What have I got here? I've got Switch Parent. I've just put that one on. That is to control my kids, the amount of time that my kids spend on video games. One of my my eldest son, who's 12, he installed it for me so that, because my kids are getting a bit out of, they're just spending a bit too much time on that. So I've got Switch Parent in, and not much for me. The only thing, I guess, which I can credit for is one of the reasons why I was able to start my business so many years ago was because I was on desktop accounting software, 9 years ago now. And I had I was 8 months pregnant using non-cloud-based software, and something happened with my laptop and I hadn't done a backup. And from then, I lost a little bit of data, I'm pregnant, where am I going to find the time to put it all back in? So from that moment onwards, I was like, I will only use cloud-based software. So now, and that's been able to help me be able to work from wherever I want. So probably the biggest one that I have to credit to, so we use Xero, and also then just the Google Suites for Business. I'm massive on Google Sheets, Google Docs, Google Drive. So yeah, Google, if you just want to pay me, you know. Yeah.
We'll pop a link below the show notes.
Yeah, but for me, it's more so cloud-based. But yeah, the way you automated this whole session, I was like, oh my God, this was amazing. So you're probably a bit more techie in that, because I was just like,
oh, really?
Blown away with how professional.
Oh, like, good.
The most professional thing that I've ever seen, with all your automation behind all the emails and everything. I was next level impressed. I was forwarding it to my sisters and I'm like, look what this girl's doing.
Oh my goodness.
She can do all these things. I'm like, so good. So yeah.
I say that I'm not techie, but yeah, I'm so like obsessed about finding the right tech tool to save me time. I just want to do things once.
Yeah.
It drives me up the wall to remind my kids to put their shoes on, to get their water bottle, to get their iPads, to get this and that, everything in the morning. And not that I run my business the same way, but if I have to repeat myself, I'll be like, okay, I've said it 3 times. How can I streamline this? Because it drives me up the wall. So that's why I like to ask that question. But I do agree on the cloud-based thing. I literally was laying in bed last night going, I have got way too many apps on my phone. I get like shiny object syndrome very quickly. And I was thinking, right, I seriously need to declutter my phone, clear it all up, even just the back screensaver, so that when I look at it, I don't go, like I don't get that freak out moment and there's not all these notifications and dinging and all this stuff. It just needs to be like, calm. Let's invite calmness into that environment. So I agree. Awesome. Well, we are almost at the end. I have so loved chatting with you today, Miriam. You have just got fantastic energy. Like I said, I could totally see us having a wine. Now I would love to know, when we finish up here today, I love quotes, I love motivational quotes. So is there a quote that that you live by? Is there a quote that you have hanging up in your office, on your diary?
Yeah.
I think that kind of jumps out that you are like, yep, that's my thing.
I love quotes as well. So I've just got 100 different quotes probably that I love. But one that I was sharing my vision with the business, with my team and everything like that. The quote that I did last week was, if you help enough other people get what they want, you will get what you want. So yeah, for me, it's more so about serving other people. That's just one that comes to my mind quite regularly. So yeah, if that's an okay one.
Love it.
What's your favorite quote?
Okay, so mine is, what I'm kind of renowned for is growth fixes everything. And so I love that, because it can apply on, I love that you asked me that. Thank you. I love to share this. Because, you know, growth, if you're frustrated or if you're having a hurdle or, you know, you're just stuck in something that you can't get through, I always say to myself, growth will fix everything. So maybe I need to do some personal growth. Maybe I need to do some business growth. Maybe it's financial growth. Whatever it is, usually I can go to that quote and be like, okay, check in on myself. Where am I at? What is it that I'm needing right now? And I can usually solve that problem pretty quickly. So
yeah, but I think that's a really important point, because I go to a lot of CEO events and I seem to be like, there's a lot of men at all these entrepreneurial, particularly like I'm a part of a group where you have to have a turnover of more than 7 figures to be a part of it. And there's a whole lot of men in there, but there's a few women starting to creep through and get into these groups. And the key thing is, they're always growing, they're always learning, they're not afraid to ask questions, and that type of thing. So yeah, it's for one of our values for the business, it's a continuous improvement as a way of life. So I can definitely relate to growing. And I think it's awesome what you're doing with this podcast and sharing people's stories and everything like that. So the more that we can all learn from each other, the better off we're all going to be.
100%. We got to rise up together, right? We got to rise
up together.
Well, beautiful. Thank you so much again. It's been awesome. I just can't wait to connect with you in the future and just keep watching you flourish and grow. And of course, check in with you and your gorgeous sisters on your podcast. We will have some links in our show notes so that you can access and contact Miriam if you need some fab tax advice. And you actually have, for our viewers, I know that you popped on your application, you'll be offering a complimentary 30-minute chat or review accounting. So we'll pop that in the show notes. Thank you so much again, and we'll be in touch. Yeah.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
Mums, I really do hope you enjoyed today's guest interview. If you would like to access the show notes for this episode, you will find them at emmafiorenza.com. I also invite you to join our free Facebook group for community and collaboration at Mums Who Entrepreneur. That is all for today, and I look forward to sharing with you our next interview with a fellow Mum Who Entrepreneurs, where we will be chatting about the messy middle journey in life and business.